Today on The Journey.
I always think of sex within marriage like a beautiful fire in a fireplace. It's warm, it's glowing, it's right there where it needs to be.
Right.
A fire outside the fireplace gets you into trouble.
It can ignite you or it can burn you up.
Men, what are the warning signals that you could fall prey to an affair? And wives, do you understand how the men in your life are sexually wired by God? You see, knowing these things can save all concerned heartache and failure. With that in mind, Ron Moore is joined by men's minister Tunch Ilkin to outline the signs and design that, unexamined, can lead to adultery. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet titled, A Biblical View of Sexuality. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourages its proper use. You can get yours at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest host for part one of a discussion titled, A Man and His Temptations, Anatomy of an Affair, On the Journey.
Well, thank you for joining us today on The Journey. And it's my privilege to be joined by Tunch Ilkin in a special series of broadcasts focusing on the real issues for real men. Tunch is a 14-year veteran of the NFL, is a pastor of men's ministry at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and is a sought-after speaker for men around the country. And Tunch, we've been addressing several issues that face men, real issues for real men, a man and his God, a man and his identity, a man and his marriage, his family, his integrity. Last time, we talked about the temptation of lust.
We got real in that one.
We finally got real.
Yeah, we got real in that one.
And if you're joining us, just tuning in, why you would just be tuning in, I don't know. But if you are, you can go to our website, ronmoore.org, and you can listen to all the broadcasts. Tunch, again, we know these are real issues for real men, but women need to hear these issues as well, don't they?
You know, sometimes I think that maybe women might not know how men are really wired. And we talk about being a student of your spouse, and we hammer it all the time. I'm always hammering, guys, be a student of your wife. Know what her love language is. Court her, pursue her. And because it's so obvious that men don't understand women, but it's not as obvious that maybe women might not understand men. So I think that this kind of insight gives them a look into the souls of their husbands, but it also will help them understand their sons when their sons start maturing into adulthood and going through those teenage years.
Today we want to address the temptation of adultery. Mm-hmm. And we talked about lust last time. We're going to talk about some addictions, one of them being pornography. But today we want to talk about this temptation of adultery. And we want to break it down. Let's look at the anatomy of an affair. The scripture is clear from the get-go that this is a no trespassing zone. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they'll become one flesh, physical, emotional, spiritual. God ordained for the man and woman to become one flesh. And that physical union is a vital part of the marriage relationship. Someone said, every time a husband and wife are intimate, every time a husband and wife has sex, it's renewing their covenant. It's renewing their vow. So that's just critical for that to continue to happen and for that to be guarded in the relationship.
And it's an act of praise. That's what makes it so wonderful. That union is very special. And I think that it is just such a testimony to the good gifts that God gives us. Mm-hmm. And intimacy within the marriage covenant is one of, I believe, God's greatest gifts, because there is not only the physical aspect of it, but the emotional, the spiritual, and the mental union and the oneness and the joy and everything that comes with it.
I always think of sex within marriage like a beautiful fire in a fireplace. It's warm, it's glowing, it's right there where it needs to be.
Yeah, right.
A fire outside the fireplace gets you into trouble.
Yeah, it can ignite you or it can burn you up. Yeah, that's a great analogy, because when it's under control, it is a beautiful thing, and it can be burning hot.
You want it to be
burning. And you want it to burn hot. Right. It's a little more to comfort. All right, let's go a step. It's burning hot.
Just the warm and fuzzy.
It's not just warm. Let's get to the point that it's burning hot here.
Now, in case
of, you wanted real questions for real men, right?
This is real. It is real. This is real. In case someone didn't get the one flesh relationship, God is clear and says it straight out. Right. One of the commandments, Exodus chapter 20, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Mm-hmm. So the physical union is to be honored. It's to be protected. And sexual satisfaction has to be sought and found in one's spouse. So here's what I'd like to do today, Tunch. We have the framework of Scripture. We know that adultery is out of bounds. We know that. And yet, far too many marriages are impacted by this. I don't want to say it craters every marriage, because by God's grace, He can put a difficult marriage back together. But let's talk to men, and let's look at some warning signs. The first warning sign is this. I've only heard one guy say this. This could never happen to me. If a guy says that, that's a warning sign. I had one person tell me that. I can never fall in that area, and he did. Mm-hmm. I think that's a sign of pride.
Right.
A sign of naivety.
Ugh.
And Scripture says that if you think you're standing, be careful that you don't fall. Yeah. That's one of those areas.
Right. You know, I had a close friend tell me the same thing, and I remember thinking, man, don't say that. And then he looked at me and he said, come on, Tunch, you could never do this. And I go, look, I know what my brain can conceive. And I know the way that a man is wired. And so I prayed, I've protected myself. I have prayed, Lord, cause me never to fall into an adulterous affair. But we all know that pride cometh before the fall. And we want to make sure we protect ourselves. Because I think when you say that, number one, you're showing arrogance, as you point out. Number two, you're being very, very naive. And with that naivete, is that the right way you say naivete? It's kind of a French word. I'm not really, I don't speak French. But with that naivete, I think what happens is you let your guard down. If you truly, truly understand what you're capable of, and if you are fearful, if you have a healthy fear of falling into adultery, then you're going to protect yourself. If you say, I can never fall, then in essence, you're saying, I don't need to protect myself. This is something that I can never struggle with. We've been kind of hammering David here because he was a man with very real flaws, and yet he was a man after God's own heart. And when I first was a believer and I would read the Scriptures about David, I was going, wow, man. How bad is this that his sins are there for history, for all to see? But then the more I studied David's life and the more I've studied the Scriptures, the more I realized that this is a warning to all men, because David is the only man in the Bible that was credited with being a man after God's own heart. And so if a man after God's own heart could fall, why not me?
Right.
I'm not exempt from this. And so I think you make a great point, Ron. We need to make sure that we have a very, very healthy understanding of what we're capable of.
We don't want to.
No.
We're going to pray that we don't. Right. We're going to put the guards around us. We're going to work toward that. At the same time, there does need to be a healthy fear that if I don't heed the warning signs that we're going to talk about, that I could fall in that area. I always remember Billy Graham, when he traveled, he would have people go in his hotel room and check it out.
Yes.
Because he never knew who may be in there, or who was planted in there, or the camera. And they asked him, why do you do that? And he said, I run scared. Mm-hmm. There's a healthy fear of what might happen. Proverbs 5 says this, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drips honey. Her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end, she is as bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Sexual temptation has to be acknowledged as real. Men are tempted visually, and failure again in this area is devastating. So the first warning sign is a person who says, this could never happen to me. You're setting yourself up for a fall.
Yeah, and as we see the proverb, it talks about how pleasing it is to the eye and how bitter it becomes in the end. And so I think we need to have a healthy understanding of what will pull us in and what we're capable of doing.
And for wives as well, my husband could never do that.
Yeah.
Again, what you need to be is a student of your husband. Yeah. Pray that he doesn't, and attend the marriage so that those temptations are not as heightened as they may be otherwise. Second warning sign, spiritual dryness and disconnectedness. When we get away from the Lord and we don't spend time in His Word and we don't spend time in prayer and we don't spend time in corporate worship, we're out on the lake, or we're up on the ski slopes, or we're doing something else on a Sunday, maybe just sleeping in. When we don't take the time to put in the personal discipline that it takes,
right,
we're saved by grace, and by God's grace, we have to do some things to build and develop our Christian life in the Word, in prayer, corporate worship, among other things. When we don't do those, there's a spiritual dryness, and when we're disconnected from God, that is a dangerous place to be, isn't it?
Extremely dangerous. Spiritual dryness opens me up to temptation of all kinds. And spiritual dryness makes me more in tune with the world than with the Spirit of God. And when I am more in tune with the world and all its temptations, I become complacent. If I'm not in the Word, if I'm not in prayer, if I'm not in fellowship, in corporate worship, you know, I have now just let all my guards down. And I notice this about myself. To me, it starts with my thought process. And even the way I speak in my mind, when I speak harsher in my mind, one of the things as Christians, we know what's appropriate, we know what's inappropriate, we know how to hide the inappropriate part of us. But there's stuff going on in our minds and in our hearts that we know. So during the time of spiritual dryness, I just start thinking differently. I allow different things to enter my life. Everything starts to change. And my whole guard, it's like losing the watchman.
As a believer, there are going to be times when we don't feel as connected with God than other times. But again, that needs to be a warning sign. So when I start to feel that, I've got to do something to get back into the Word. Maybe I need to go on a day retreat or a half-day retreat. I've got to do something, because if I don't, if I stay in that period of dryness, I'm setting myself up for a fall. Proverbs 21 says this, back to the adulteress, her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, and she knows it not. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to the path far from her. Do not go to the door of her house, lest you give your best to others and your years to one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. And here's the point. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent, and you will say, how I hated discipline. I didn't do what I needed to do to keep myself protected in that area. How I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly.
Wow. When you talk about dryness, one of the areas is you see the following of the adulteress. It's almost like you're being pulled along. And a lot of times, you're in a point of fatigue. You may be going through some tough times. However that may be, sometimes you just get tired of fighting. And it's easy to get into this, why bother? And that's one of the times when we really, really have to have our senses heightened to the potential of danger. Mm-hmm. Because now we are very, very, very vulnerable. And when that spiritual dryness comes, the other thing that follows that is I pull away from the guys that are going to hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. And now I'm alone. And it's kind of like when lions hunt in prides, they pick the lone zebra, the slow impala that's by itself. And you know that animal has no chance. And that's the way the evil one is. And that's the way the world is. You're alone, you're tired, and now you're very, very vulnerable.
Satan prowls like a roaring lion. I always think about seeking whom he may devour, and he's going to find that person who's letting his guard down, who's out there on his own. When I've read about guys who have fallen into an affair, they always start, I was exhausted. I went through a tough stretch of work or ministry or whatever, and I let my guard down.
Right. Or it was at tough times, the illness of a spouse or divorce, or you lose your job or something that has been a real emotional challenge to you. And there is a fatigue that happens, and your brain just says, I just don't want to fight anymore. It's just too hard. It's too hard. And then rationalization starts creeping in, and you put yourself in that place.
And so again, these are warning signs. Right. Kind of like going down the road and seeing a warning sign, bridge out.
Right.
The reality, the bridge is out. Yeah. So don't go there. I'm in spiritual dryness. Okay, I got to do something to get reinvigorated in my walk with Christ. Okay, another warning sign. And a huge one, obviously, a disconnection with my wife. In any relationship, There are times when we feel closer than other times. Same deal, fatigue or exhaustion, or you're going through a time of life where you're going kind of separate ways. Right. Both are busy. A lot of things. The proverb says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice with the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Scripture tells us to enjoy each other.
Right. Pretty racy stuff for the Bible.
It is. Be satisfied with her, captivated by her love. Be enthralled and fascinated by your spouse. And again, that doesn't just happen. We talked in the marriage segment what it takes to keep the fire burning hot. Part of a marriage that's going to honor God is going to be one involved in the thing He created, sexuality.
A lot of times when spouses get tired, or as you pointed out, busyness enters in, I've heard counselors say this, that the act of love produces the emotion of love. And we've heard it many, many times that love is a choice. And sometimes you may not feel very loving, but the action of love produces the emotion of love. And sometimes it's a matter of saying, okay, look, I may not feel very loving right now, but I need to love my wife. And part of that is setting aside my own agenda at that time. Maybe I just want to watch football, but I'm going to set that aside and I am now going to pursue my wife. And maybe initially I really don't feel like pursuing my wife, but it never fails that those things go hand in hand. And when I start pursuing my wife and that produces an action of love, the emotion follows. Mm-hmm. If I'm waiting for the emotion to produce the action, well, then that's where I get into trouble. You know, a lot of times when I'll talk to guys and they're going through struggles, I try to walk them back and I say, well, what was it about your spouse in the years that really attracted you? What got you excited? And, you know, as you go through the conversation, she's still in there. Mm-hmm. And so do you pursue her like you pursued her when you were just so attracted to her? And so those things go hand in hand.
So when there's a disconnection in a marriage, and again, it happens.
Yeah.
Both husband and wife should say, hey, this is a warning sign. Let's pursue each other.
Right.
And so I think a lot of times the wife is waiting on the husband to pursue her, mm-hmm. and the man's waiting on the wife to pursue him. Mm-hmm. And men can become passive sometimes at home. And so they're tired, they're exhausted, they're disconnected with their wife, and they're expecting their wife to fix that problem. It's not the wife's problem to fix.
Right.
When we have an issue, we've got to deal with it ourselves.
Yeah. And we are the pursuer. That's the way God has wired us. We talk about it all the time, that we are the knight that rescues the beauty. Eldridge talks about it in Wild at Heart, and we've talked about it here. And we do look at ourselves as men like that. We are the hero. But the thing is that that doesn't end. And so we need to keep pursuing our wives, and someone's got to be the initiator.
Scripture doesn't mince words about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul writes this, now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry, but since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each wife her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. That's talking about sex.
Right.
The wife's body does not belong to her, but also to her husband in the same way. The husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other, talking about sex.
Right.
Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and then come together again, talking about sex,
right,
so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Husbands and wife have a biblical responsibility to fulfill each other sexually.
For protection. Before Sharon got sick with cancer and passed away, I used to always say, you are to protect me. And she would laugh. I said, no, it's right there, 1 Corinthians. And I said, so whenever I would go on the road, I would go, honey, I'm leaving tomorrow. I need protection. And she used to say to me, are you serious? Are you telling me that you could possibly have an affair if we don't make love tonight? And I'd go, Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that a guy with a full stomach is not looking for a meal. And we used to laugh at that, but I used to say I invoke the protection sex rule of the Bible. And we would laugh. Now there's a bunch of wives out there that are going, oh, listen to this. But I didn't make this up. Now, not that I didn't utilize that scripture. You wanted real issues for real men, brother. You just lost a bunch of your listeners.
Paul says it. Then come together again so Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Mm-hmm. Mutual submission applies in the sexual relationship. And depriving each other of sexual fulfillment for whatever reason, and sometimes there are reasons.
Right.
But when that's happening, it results in a heightened temptation. Someone has said, there's nothing more frustrating for a man. We could say the same thing for a woman.
Right.
Nothing more frustrating than to save yourself for your spouse in this area and then not have your needs met in that area.
Yeah, it's really tough. And I think wives seem to understand how important the physical intimacy is to a man. Sexual intimacy is a celebration of God's provision for us, God's gifting us. It is worship. It is a beautiful thing. And I think sometimes we forget the spiritual aspect of that, and it is what God has ordained and God has brought us together. And I think that sometimes we lose that focus, and we have to realize that it is something that is really important to a man. And we talk about what's important to a woman, and we need to romance our wives and communicate and do that as well.
I was reading the other day, and this came from a women's ministry, all
right? Right,
from
right.
A women's ministry.
We want to preface this. Yeah.
But this women's ministry, did you hear me? This came from a women's ministry?
I heard that.
This women's ministry said, sometimes a man doesn't need a Proverbs 31 woman. He wants a Song of Solomon woman.
Right.
And I think that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the Proverbs 31 woman, she's busy doing the administration and everything. Song of Solomon, it's talking about the fire that burns.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. You know, it doesn't take a long look to see how sex-saturated our culture has become. Whether in television shows and movies, on billboards, or at the mall, one thing is certain. Our society doesn't hesitate to put sexuality and sexual topics right in front of us. But where is the church in this discussion? Far too often, Christians remain uncomfortably silent about sexuality. Parents are reluctant to talk to their kids about purity. Men and women, who desperately need accountability, keep their sexual struggles to themselves. And churches often avoid these difficult issues entirely. But because God created us and created sex as part of the human experience, we must talk about this vital topic. We need to know what God has to say about it and how we can apply those truths to our lives. To that end, Ron has written a thoughtful booklet called A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Now, here are Ron and Tunch with a look at our next time together.
Every Woman's Desire,
right,
written by Arterburn and Stoker. Men primarily give intimacy during foreplay and receive intimacy during intercourse. That's the way God wired us. Mm-hmm. Women experience intimacy through touching, sharing, hugging, communicating. The writers say this, is it any wonder that the frequency of sex is less important to women than men? In fact, women often view sex as a vastly inferior form of interpersonal communication. They resent that we, men, always run to this form of communication. When we want to express love, we're automatically in the mood for intercourse. When our wives want to express love, they want to sit and share their feelings.
Right.
Neither is wrong, but we need to understand that in order to be fulfilled in this area of sexuality. Men's sexual ignitions are wired to visual stimulation. Again, it gets us into trouble with the lust thing we talked about last time. Now, in the aspect of marriage, a great thing. Women's sexual ignitions are wired to touch and relationship. Arterburn and Stoker say men have a biological need for regular sexual release every 48 to 72 hours. Now, when I teach that in the marriage enrichment class, the guys say, this is worth the money, right?
That's right. Thank you for sharing that. Can you preach on it on Sunday, brother?
We don't have to come to another class.
Yeah.
We got everything we need right there.
We hope you can join us for that discussion next time. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.